Hi, everyone. I'm Alexa Reeves, your witch and host on today's episode of Boxed Wine and Witchcraft. Today, we are going to take a quick pit stop over a few of the festive holiday lore and traditions that you may find yourself running into this snowy season. We'll talk about things from the Yule log to the Holly King to a particularly hungry Christmas cat. This mini-series is going to touch on a few of the most common cold weather lores that you may find yourself running into. As always, we remind you that your spirituality and religion is as unique as your fingerprints. What we say here is by no means the definitive rule on any topic, merely a jumping off point for you to begin your exploration into the wild world around us. So, with the air that inspires us, earth that grounds us, fire that enlightens us, and water that moves us, grab yourself a cup of mulled wine and let's cozy up to talk about some of the more popular winter holiday traditions. Today, we are going to be talking specifically about Yule, and we'll eventually get to what that Yule log is and why we keep hearing about it. In doing research for this little mini-series, discovering that the month of December has so many little festive holidays crammed into it across a number of different religions and practices. We have things like St. Nicholas Day or Sinterklaas Day in Belgium on December 6th. I discovered Yuletide Lads, a series of holidays between the 12th and the 24th. They are 13 Icelandic lads that show up one after the other to scare naughty children into behaving. Some of them arrive to steal milk. Some of them arrive to steal the spoon that the woman of the house is cooking with. Some of them arrive to just slam doors and cause mischief. As well as we have Hanukkah on the 25th day of Kislev, which is a Hebrew month. We have Kwanzaa from the 26th to January 1st, and then the Christian holiday of Christmas on the 25th. Specifically, though, we're going to focus on Yule. And I want to make a differentiation between Yule and the winter solstice. Astronomically speaking, winter solstice takes place on the 21st of December in the Northern Hemisphere. In the Southern Hemisphere, it's on June 20th or thereabouts. And it is specifically the day of the year with the least amount of daylight from sunrise to sunset. It has to do with the placement of the sun and our Earth and its rotation around it in a yearly sphere. So the winter solstice, when we say that word, as far as the holiday tradition goes, I want you to think of the astronomical phenomena. Shortest day of the year, based on the position of the planet. It marks that from this point on, so from this point moving into the next year, the days are slowly going to get longer. And that central theme is actually what leads us into Yule as a holiday. A lot of neo-pagans and a lot of magic practitioners will use the word Yule and winter solstice kind of interchangeably. It is the name of that holiday time of the year, so you do need to be mindful when somebody says that they're celebrating the solstice or celebrating Yule. What are they specifically talking about? Because for pre-Christian Germanic societies, and this is, again, before the Christianization of the major part of Europe, the holiday of Yule actually drew its origins from the Nordic or Scandinavian festival of Yule, and that is spelled J-O-L. Like most of the cold month festivals, since we said with the winter solstice being the shortest day of the year and the day slowly getting longer, the sun slowly coming back, it's a festival that you can expect themes of returning light, returning fire, feasting, enjoyment of each other's company for making it through, you know, the beginning parts of a cold winter. When it comes to the actual origins of Yule or Yule, and definitively kind of what is out there, there's not a lot of source material. Doing a deep dive and digging and looking as far as Scandinavian archaeology research, they have references they're able to kind of pull together, but there is no definitive in the line, absolutely, this is what Yule is. But they do have enough evidence to kind of be able to suggest the following information is most likely true when we talk about Yule. The first mention of Yule in most Scandinavian literature that they can find record of is the saga of Håkon. Håkon was the good. He was the king of Norway in the years 1934 to 1961 AD. His story is found in the Icelandic compendium Heimskringla by Snorri Sturluson over in the 13th century. Snorri's name shows up a lot in a lot of Scandinavian and Icelandic mythology as one of the few written records we have of a lot of that mythology and folklore and family tradition. In the story of Håkon, according to Snorri, midwinter was actually a big three-day event. It was a several days long celebration, and it only really definitively called itself midwinter. Now, scholars kind of teased apart the differences between the calendars, because obviously we know the calendar that Snorri and the rest of the, you know, pagans over in Norway were operating on a completely different timeline than the Gregorian calendar or the Julian calendar that we get to use now. So those calendar shifts are going to be a little bit important as we piece together why Yule is still a name that we use today in modern times. Obviously, there are some pretty big differentiations as to what was considered midwinter. Some of the notes and some of the research shows that it is somewhere towards the mid-December point. There are a lot of sources that say midwinter was actually into January, almost mid to end of January, depending on who you were reading from. So that discrepancy, though, is important, because that discrepancy of when these actual dates occurred lines up with the fact that we know during the Christianization of the pagan nations, holidays, festivals, celebrations were all moved and kind of lumped together to make that Christianization easier on the general population of people. I know King Håkon was one of the more converted pagan kings. I think in some literature he is called the apostate because he was baptized as a Christian. And when he came back to Norway, he was one of the first kings to slowly start bringing those Christian traditions to the already existing pagan traditions that he and his people, you know, lived and breathed. Most of the research, though, still kind of agrees that Yule was probably a pretty bloody festival, all things considered. There would have been sacrifices. Now, there's of course evidence of those sacrifices being made towards gods for fertility rituals, for fertility of the land, to be able to bring the sun. A lot of modern scholars also point out the fact, though, if this was meant to be an entire village-wide celebration, everyone included, everyone eating, of course there's going to be animal sacrificing because you have to feed a lot of people. So there is some contention as to whether or not the sacrificing of animals, the eating of the goats, the mutton, the sheep, the boar, not necessarily being only ritualistic sacrifice for, you know, a healthier crop for the next year, but also probably just practicality. You have a whole village to feed. You're going to want to thin down your herds. There's actually a very common practice with most agricultural societies of thinning out your herds before winter gets too long because you recognize you don't have enough resources to feed all of these animals. So it's a great opportunity to kind of get your balance back between resources, what you have to take care of versus what you have in store to be able to take care of those animals. I know one of the animals I mentioned there was eating of that boar. There are several references across many of the different Scandinavian research saying the great boar is a very common theme. It was usually a beautiful beast, sometimes homegrown, sometimes wild caught. But all of the leaders, all of the more prominent members of the village, the society that this was taking place in, would pledge themselves over this boar, and they would kind of reaffirm their vows to their leader or, you know, whoever it was that was kind of governing the land there. I found that such an interesting tradition because that is actually where our Christmas ham comes from. I know a lot of us in today's day and age, ham with cloves, pineapples stuck in it is a pretty big hallmark for the winter month traditions. And I thought it was really interesting that one of our more common traditions came from, you know, swearing fealty and allegiance upon the great boar for Yol to the rest of your village. There were a lot of evidence that gods were worshipped during Yol. In the Nordic pantheon specifically, there were references to Odin. There were references to Njord or Freyr. These were really common deities to have to worship at this time of the year. Odin not only being kind of liege lord of the Æsir, but Njord and Freyr also being pretty prominent, powerful deities in that setting. And if this is a celebration of community, of power, of leadership, you're going to want to deify your big heavy hitters. We did kind of notice a little bit with some of the crossover between the traditions of Odin and being bearded and visiting homes. Inevitably, we almost always have to bring up the fact that the Christians use Yule or Yuletide time to worship Jesus. I do want to remind everybody, though, that Jesus's birthday was moved to December 25th to kind of better coincide with a lot of these festivals and holidays. That was done by Pope Julius I back in the 4th century AD. So it's not necessarily an accurate timeline to say that for sure, for certain, all of these things were happening midwinter, but they were happening communally enough and they were happening commonly enough that it was easy for a lot of the Christianization of the Scandinavian peoples to slowly begin to kind of meld these traditions together. That was something that King Håkon did very well, I will say, in a lot of the research I did, was that he did not viciously push the Christian agenda onto his people. He took it a very diplomatic approach to being able to bring his people kind of into the fold of Christianity as it slowly continued its takeover of the European nations. But we do see that shift, though, between what Yule as a celebration is being centered around the village, all of these people. And when you have this Christianization of Europe start to come through, the church wants that focus of celebration, of renewal, of light returning. That's traditionally more associated with the Christian holiday of Easter for their God's resurrection. So there's a lot of academic sources that say that there was this kind of subtle shift between Yule not necessarily being the big heavy hitter in the calendar, and that kind of bigger resurrection theme, the returning of light theme, being pushed further into the year to line up with the Christian holiday of Easter, which thus necessitated Yule or Yol being a holiday that was celebrated with just family. It was something a little closer to home. It was something a little bit more intimate between you and your fellow friends and family, which is where we do see a lot of those other fun kind of pagan traditions leaking into the modern day. There are lots of research that show that in a lot of these egalitarian societies, prior to money being the, you know, root cause of a lot of problems, a lot of these people shored up their allegiances to each other, to their friends, their neighbors, their villages, by exchanging gifts, by getting together and sharing supplies and resources. So we see early hints of that idea of gift giving, of sharing of resources, of coming together as family units in this time of Yule. Which brings us finally to that Yule log. A lot of the ancient carols and things like that do mention, you know, Yuletide and Yuletide blessings and things. But I did some serious looking into what a Yule log actually was. What it is today is a very tasty treat, I must say, and I'm kind of looking forward to being able to eat some this holiday season. But what it originally started as, there are some academic sources that say that the Yule log was basically the big village fire that they put up when they were celebrating this several long, you know, day holiday together. Obviously, having a bigger log, having a bigger source of light burning for multiple days, it does make it easier on everybody celebrating. But this is where we also start to see those little trappings of modern traditions of the Christmas tree entering into the home. There are a lot of academic resources that say rather than just a whole log, a whole tree sometimes was brought into the house or the manor or wherever the gathering place was. And starting from the bottom of that tree all the way to the top, day by day, hour by hour, that tree was fed into the fire. A lot of times we see this being kind of the major origin of the 12 days of Christmas, or, you know, the 12 days of Yuletide, the 12 days of holiday tidings and things like that. We see that 12 number start to pop up here in a lot of academic research. But I did find that such an interesting breakdown between the Yule log now being something that we can representatively eat, and it's very tasty, but it's starting as bringing that tree inside as a fuel source for the fire and letting it burn several days at a time. And it wouldn't surprise me that we have that combination of bringing that tree inside, setting it alight, setting it ablaze for several days at a time as a mark of celebration, as a mark of enticing the sunshine to return. Because again, astronomically, all of these people were at the point in the calendar year where the days were dark and short. And it was usually around this time of the year they started to notice that the days get a little longer. Sunshine leaks back in. More daylight hours are available to use for them. So you have that juxtaposition between the astronomical winter solstice that happens and the tradition of Yule being this festive, this amazing holiday between the Scandinavian peoples, kind of shrouded in a lot of mystery still, because like I said, there's not a lot of definitive source material. There are a lot of academic references, and there are a lot of ways to cross-reference things that Snorri Sturluson wrote with Germanic monks or pilgrimages, and people kind of making academic notes in their own journals, that they're able to cross-reference some of these traditions with each other. But I enjoy the fact that in 2025, Yule for us pagans is that winter solstice holiday. It is the sign of the darkest part of the year. It is the least amount of daylight given to us in a single day. And it is the promise that sunlight is returning, that the sun is going to come back to us, that spring will eventually return. And we're going to start to see those little trappings of spring leak their way into it. But for now, I'll leave you just with the Yule log and the celebration of Yule as it comes to some fun and cold holiday traditions here. If any of you have the opportunity to eat a Yule log or even bake one, please share that with us here at the shop. We would love to hear what you guys are getting up to and what you guys are making. And I can't wait to talk to you guys about the next episode with more fun seasonal holiday lore and traditions for this cold season. Thank you.